This is the Android Buffet Podcast, recorded on June 9th, 2014, episode number 203, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Keep repeating that ad nauseum if you'd like.
No, because then I'd be all nauseum.
That was my rendition of the ever-repeating Tetris theme that I remember from being a child.
Fine job you did too, sir.
Oh, do you remember that?
No.
Oh, you didn't play Tetris?
Oh yeah, I was the rock star of Tetris when I was a junior in high school.
Yeah, well, that was the music I remember playing.
Well, we played it in class, so.
You no,
we had music. Yeah, the music was turned off.
Okay, well, I probably just made a bunch of people have that stuck in their head for a few days.
You know what else has turned 30 since we last met?
You?
No. No.
I know you're far from 30.
Yes. Ghostbusters had their 30th anniversary.
Yeah, did you hear that this summer they're bringing it back to theaters?
The original?
Yeah. I saw something about it.
So easy to know when you're typing.
Yeah,
clickety clack clack, clickety clack clack.
I'm driving you crazy now, aren't I? Should have gone for the brown, right? Let's see here. Ghostbusters will be re-released in more than 700 theaters on August 29th, the centerpiece of a campaign to celebrate the film's birthday. It's only one aspect of a campaign Sony Pictures has planned, including special events, new merchandise, new Blu-ray set. On September 16th, there will be Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2's 30th and 25th anniversary editions, respectively. The first time Ghostbusters 2 has been released on Blu-ray. Deleted scenes that have never been released and newly recorded conversations with Dan Aykroyd and director Ivan Reitman. A traveling Ghostbusters fan art exhibit is making several stops around the country. So apparently if you monitor your local listings, Ghostbusters will have a limited release in theaters.
Sweet.
Well, you know, I did that a few years ago. I'm not sure if you remember, because I think I mentioned it to you at the time, that I went when they did the re-release of Back to the Future, and they had they had 2 days where they showed the movie. As a special event, I went out to a local theater and saw the DeLorean Motor Club of Long Island. I didn't know there was such a thing, but apparently there is. So it was a parking lot filled with DeLoreans.
Sweet.
I have a picture of it somewhere. Anyway, moving along, have you heard the news about the CIA?
What is the news about the CIA?
Well, apparently they've issued a statement noting that they cannot confirm or deny that they have joined Twitter, and they're looking forward to sharing great unclassified content with everybody.
That's funny. Is it a real? Is it like the real CIA, or is it just a joke account?
It is actually.
Oh, it's got the little check mark. It's a verified account.
Yes, and
how do you verify the CIA? Do you call like the director of the CIA up and go, "Yo, dude, is this you on Twitter?"
How do you verify anybody on Twitter, exactly? I actually don't know what Twitter's policy is on verified accounts. Because apparently you can't apply to be verified. They have to decide that they wish to verify you.
Right. They only verify celebrities. And so you have to be a celebrity first.
So is that why you don't have a verified Twitter account? You're not a celebrity? And you don't use your Twitter account?
That would be another reason.
Okay. I think it's a good reason. So are you going to follow the CIA? I hear that they're the most popular people following you after the NSA.
You know how many people I follow?
None.
Let me go to my Twitter account. I follow 0. You know how many I have following me?
How many?
0.
Really? Didn't I used to follow you?
Oh, not my new account.
Oh, you have a new account and you didn't bother to tell me?
I do have a new account.
And you didn't bother to tell me?
I didn't, because I wasn't using it for, you know.
Do you want me to follow you? I don't want to hurt your feelings.
No, not really.
Okay.
This account will probably never, ever tweet.
Okay, so you have a Twitter account for the pure purpose of not using it. That works.
Well, I am using it.
But not in a traditional manner.
Apparently, if you want to get streams, like access Twitter's API, you have to do it from you have to do it from an account.
Good to know. I had that problem recently when I was trying to figure out how to redirect people to social media without actually having an API key. I'm not sure if I told you that story. You can't know.
No.
Except for Twitter. Twitter happens to be the only service I could find that will let you create a link to anything without you having to create a whole complicated API key.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see. I have a link here. Something called
T.co.
No, web intents. So basically, you can form a link that that has information in it that will redirect people to Twitter if they are logged in without you actually having to do anything on your end. So that means no confusing JavaScript slowing down your website, no tracking cookies, just...
Sure.
How can there be a tracking cookie on a link? Admittedly, they can have a refer.
No, the link could... No. What?
How do you have a tracking cookie on a straight link?
Well, it's got to come from somewhere.
What?
Right?
Now I'm confused. The link... No, I'm saying that would be a referrer URL, which you could have.
Okay.
I'm just saying you can't have a track... You can't go in and embed a cookie. You can't do all sorts of things in regards to the page if the page only just has a link to Twitter, especially form link that pops up as what you want to do. I wish more sites actually had these web intent things. Wonder why they didn't take off. Oh, well. I'll wonder... Let's move along. Google now has an alarm that can wake you up to keep you from missing your stop on public transportation.
Isn't that neat?
Yes, it is. I'll try not to sleep on the bus.
I remember when I lived in Japan and we'd take the train somewhere.
Yeah.
It was quite common to sleep on the train.
Wasn't there a song about that? Don't sleep on the subway?
I don't know.
It was by the same woman who did Downtown. I'm already blanking on her name. This is going to bother me. Here we are, Petula Clark. Sorry, how did I forget the name Petula Clark? That's a pretty good
name. I don't know. I've never even heard of the name.
She would be the one who sung the song Downtown and the song Don't Sleep on the Subway. Or is it in the subway? Oh, well, I'll find out later. I'm not going to divert again. So did you get Android 4.4.3 for your Nexus 5?
Today, as a matter of fact.
Me too. Mine did not come till today, and I was wondering what would come first, this show or 4.4.3. And it was pretty close.
Yep. Now, I gotta be honest, I cannot tell a difference. Can you tell a difference anywhere?
Are you supposed to? It's mostly bug fixes.
Have you seen the list of bug fixes? It's a lot.
Yeah, I'm the one who put it into the show notes.
Oh, yeah. And you tend to look at the notes, so yeah, you would have.
Well, admittedly, I can't say that I read every single bug fix on the AOSP changelog.
I don't think anybody has. It's a lot of them.
I'm sure somebody has. Let's see. What do we have here? Let's look at a few. Is there anything that sticks out here?
Now, bear in mind that this, it's a change list.
It's
not really a change list so much as a commit list, a list of commit comments. Yeah. And it's funny how many of them start with do not merge.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm just wondering, what Asus device is codenamed Tilapia? Because all these code names are starting to confuse me. So... We are both running a Nexus 5, which, if I understand correctly, what's the code name for the Nexus 5?
Jelly Bean.
No. Jelly Bean is that would be version...
Ice Cream.
No.
Centaur.
Hammerhead, apparently.
Are you serious?
Yes. Apparently, the code name for the Nexus 5 is Hammerhead. So let's see what Tilapia actually is. Asus Tilapia, otherwise apparently known as the Google Nexus 7.
Really?
ME370TG. Google Nexus 7 2012 edition was apparently codenamed Tilapia. Not the 2013 edition. I have to Google these because I don't actually know which one's which.
Who does?
Well, then, of course, you have Grouper.
What's up with the fish?
I don't know, but apparently the new Nexus 7 is Grouper.
Tilapia is a fish, right?
Yes, they're all fish.
Grouper is a fish.
Yes. So then we have Manta, Mako. They're going on a theme here, aren't they? Apparently in the external Bluetooth section, they had a whole bunch of do not merge patches. I'm trying to find something here that really sticks out. With so many things, how do you figure out what sticks out?
One that I found interesting that I just could not figure out. Fix a Stack Overflow for mutual recursion. What does that mean?
I don't know.
I understand the words. I know what a Stack Overflow is, and I know how a recursion can cause a Stack Overflow. What I don't know is, what is mutual recursion?
I don't know either.
Okay.
But I was hoping it would improve some, since it also had a new bass band, I was hoping it would improve some of my audio issues.
Has it?
I don't know. I haven't made a phone call since I did it to the person who keeps complaining about my audio issues, but I think it's their audio issues.
Okay.
But moving along, apparently ransomware has come to Android.
No.
No. Well, yes.
Well, no or yes?
Yes, it has.
That's horrible.
Yes. People are getting threatened. Imagine if, you know, you're sitting at your Nexus 5 working and all of a sudden you get a message that you have to give somebody 260 hryvnia or your data gets it.
Do you have to pay in Bitcoin?
No, you have to pay in hryvnia.
What the heck is a hryvnia?
As far as I understand, Ukrainian currency.
And how do you pay in hryvnia?
How do you pay
in any currency? That needs more vowels.
I'm sure it makes sense to people who speak Ukrainian. They've been in the news a lot lately. You know, the value of hryvnia could be going up or down.
Really?
But I don't know.
Isn't that true of pretty much anything?
Well, let's see.
Be going up or down?
Hryvnia to USD. One Ukrainian hryvnia equals 8.5 cents. And just to cover this, how do you pronounce hryvnia?
Hryvnia, Ukrainian hryvnia.
One more time.
Hryvnia or hryvnia, Ukrainian hryvnia.
I think I did pretty well.
Okay.
Hryvnia, hryvnia.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Okay. I don't speak Ukrainian. I thought I did pretty well for a non-native Ukrainian speaker.
Yep.
So, moving along, Firefox is apparently testing a Roku casting feature in its pre-release of Firefox for Android. That's nice.
Very neutral comment. Of course, it's better than my comment, which is, huh?
Okay. Do you know what Firefox is, Jerry?
I got Firefox, and I know what a Roku is, but what's a Roku casting?
What's Chrome casting? Chrome casting is when you cast to your Chrome. Cast.
I thought Chrome casting was when you send video to a little device on the back of your phone.
Well, rather than sending video to a little device attached to your television, what if you sent that video to a Roku attached to your television?
Wow. Okay. Sure. Why not?
Do you like the Roku?
Is there any difference between Roku casting and like a DLNA server? DNLA? DLNA?
Well, the whole idea of casting is basically dial. You're familiar with dial.
Like you do on a telephone?
No, the dial protocol. It's an acronym for discovery and launch. A protocol co-developed by Netflix and YouTube with help from Sony and Samsung. It is a mechanism for discovering and launching applications on a single subnet, typically a home network. It relies on UPnP, Simple Service Discovery Protocol, and HTTP protocols. It works without requiring a pairing between devices. It is prominently used by the Chromecast that was introduced in July 2013 by Google. Dial enables so-called second-screen devices, such as tablet computers and mobile phones, to send content to first-screen devices, such as televisions, Blu-ray players, and set-top boxes. The Dial protocol has two components, Dial Service Discovery and the Dial REST service. The Dial Service Discovery enables a Dial client to discover Dial servers on its local network segment and obtain access to the Dial REST service on those devices. The Dial REST service enables a Dial client to query, launch, and optionally stop applications on a Dial server device.
Is it Dial or Dial?
D-I-A-L. Wouldn't you say dial?
I would.
If I'm mispronouncing it.
No, but you said discover and launch.
Yeah.
So the...
But D-I-A-L, I'd say dial.
Okay, so the... It's D-I-A-L. Like a lowercase I.
No, it's an uppercase I.
Discover and launch. Where's the I word?
D-I in discover.
Right, lowercase I.
Wouldn't that be an uppercase I if it's part of the acronym?
Right, but it's not a first letter, so it's...
Okay.
I'm so confused. But anyway, okay. So you can... Okay, so I need to have access to a video on my phone.
Yeah.
And then I can send it to my Roku via this Roku casting. Or maybe it would be like I could send a YouTube video to my Roku.
You can already do that.
Okay, then... Okay.
Remember, well, YouTube was one of the developers of the protocol. But I'm looking here in the Roku SDK documentation,
and
It says here, Roku boxes will advertise their external control protocol through SSDP, the Simple Service Discovery Protocol, so programs can discover the IP address of Rokus in the area by using the protocol. Skipping ahead here, The external
so control, far, what you say makes sense.
The external control service is a simple RESTful service accessed via the HTTP protocol on port 8060. Once you have the Roku's IP address, you can issue the following external commands to the Roku, including key up, key down, key press, launch, query icon, query application, etc. Skipping down past external control inputs, which is emulating a remote control, we have implementing deep linking, which is used by the Roku search service to launch titles. And then we get down to the very bottom, discovery and launch, or dial. In the context of the Roku platform, the first screen device is the Roku device. The Roku Dial SDK contains detailed documentation of Roku Dial support, as well as sample BrightScript, Android, and iOS sample applications. In dial parlance, the BrightScript sample is the first screen application, and the Android iOS apps are the second screen applications. So basically, you have to have a Roku app, and you have to have an Android app to connect to said Roku app. So for Roku, you need two pieces.
Mm.
Well, on Roku, it's called a channel. See, you learn something new every day.
I do.
So do I. I didn't know any of that until I started reading it. There's a rumor of a new product, Google Nearby.
This sounds mildly interesting.
Well, apparently it would let other people, places, and things know where you were in relation to them.
Oh, then no. No, that's not cool.
Well, the one thing I'm wondering is if it's a competitor to what Apple's been trying, the iBeacon, which is a little Bluetooth beacon.
Mm-hmm. This is for the advertising thing you're talking about.
Well, that's basically the idea. The idea is not admittedly, it could theoretically be used for people to stalk you, well, at least in the sense they'd know when you were nearby. They wouldn't necessarily know when you weren't nearby. But the idea is to be able to feed information to you based on your proximity to something else.
Sure.
So let's give an example. I'm near the Jacksonville Zoo. And my phone tells me, wait a minute, if you walk into the Jacksonville Zoo, we'll give you 10% off right now.
See, now that seems kind of cool.
Or you, Google knows that I've been searching for a new pair of something. Let's say suspenders. Sure. I don't wear suspenders, but let's say. And I'm walking past the suspender store. And it is connected the fact that I've searched for suspenders with the fact I'm near a suspender store. And it says, if you go into that suspender store, you could buy some suspenders. So another
avenue. Okay, now that's fine, but what happens now? Is it doing that by telling the store? Because if somebody in the store pops their head out and says, yo, dude, Google says you're looking for some suspenders. Can I help? That's kind
of... Remember, this at the moment is not fleshed out. This is a rumor of an upcoming feature. So there have been screen mock-ups and other things, but nobody knows the full nature of the feature. My guess is that Google, while they, you know, obviously they are breaking down privacy walls, part of their business.
That's an interesting way to phrase it, but okay.
Sure. Well, what I'm saying is that they are aware of privacy. They're not going to start advertising to the extent that you'd be concerned about and allowing people to follow you around. Basically, they would link people who wanted things with people who indicated that they might want those things. So people who want to sell you things with you who have indicated you might want to buy said things. Otherwise, you would turn the thing off, which there is an off button from what I can see, because it would not be useful to you. So if Google's goal is to be useful to you, then that by logic requires that they not, you know, send you 100 advertisements every few minutes as you walk through places and you end up in a live version of the Minority Report.
It's just so funny.
Didn't you see that movie?
I have seen Minority Report.
I seem to recall a scene where the lead character is walking through a place and everybody's trying to sell him things.
Yep.
That could be the future, Jerry.
Could be. And I hope not. I mean, I don't mind my phone saying, hey, dude, you've been looking for suspenders, and there's a suspender store up on the right.
Well, what about, we know you've been looking for suspenders. We have a special offer from Suspenders R Us. If you come in right now and go to the counter and use the secret Jerry-only password, I want suspenders, you'll get 10% off your next suspender order.
I don't even really mind that. It's the, it's going to let other people know when you're around. It's not letting you know when you're around other things.
Well, we'll do that too, but
say that's...
Well, the question is, are the other people knowing that it's Jerry Jones walking down the street who wants suspenders, or is the store saying, I want to attract anybody who meets this profile, and Google saying, keeping you anonymous from the store until you actually go in there, and telling you, okay, fine, we're, you know, the store near you has said that they're interested in people who have said they want suspenders. We're giving you this personalized advertisement, but in reality, the store doesn't know who you are.
That's cool. I can deal with that.
Well, we'll see. Right now,
but that's not what it's saying it's going to do.
Is it?
It's saying Google will soon introduce Nearby to let other people, places, and things know when you're around. The information flow is to other things, not to you.
But I'm asking you the question, when they're telling people that you are around, are they telling it that is you, Jerry Jones, is around, or you, this person who meets this profile that they've established, is around?
I don't know.
I'm saying that it's not necessarily that they're telling the store everything about you. It could just be that there's the store says, this is the type of person we're looking for. If one of those people happens to walk by, we want you to send this message to them. So they won't necessarily know Jerry Jones is walking by the store. They'll know guy who wants suspenders is walking by the store, who just happens to be Jerry Jones.
So let's just make sure that I'm not the only person walking by any place.
Who wants suspenders?
Well, no, because if I'm the only person walking past the place and they get a thing saying somebody nearby wants suspenders and I'm the only person there, it's pretty safe to be, it's a pretty safe assumption that it's talking about me, right?
Isn't that in any group? Do you remember a few years ago when Netflix sent out some, they had this thing to do things with Netflix data and they sent out anonymized preference data?
Yep.
And somebody was, even though it was anonymized, somebody was able to figure out a way to de-anonymize it.
Yep. I think somebody said that with a zip code, a gender, and an age, you can narrow it, you can identify a specific person.
And
like some obscene percentage of the time.
Yeah, but you understand my point.
I do.
There's always the possibility that somebody will be able to uniquely identify you by extraction, but that doesn't mean that Google is telling them who you are, or that Google even wants to tell them who you are, and that Google wouldn't stop it if somebody reveals to them that people are getting too much information where it's beyond what they agreed to.
Yeah, see, I don't think that's what they're trying to...
We're only speculating. We're being talking heads.
You're speculating. I'm being paranoid.
Okay. Jerry? I'm introducing my new product, Guru Now, and whenever you go anyplace, we'll be watching you. Guru Now, the vision of the National Security Agency.
Truth in advertising, I like it.
Wherever you are, we're watching.
All right.
Jerry, you don't really want to eat that, do you?
No, I don't.
I'm just getting some phrases from my new Guru Now service.
All right.
Jerry, you are in New York. You cannot have a soda above 16 ounces. Sorry, our new mayor brought back that stupid idea that our old mayor had on banning soft drinks cups in excess of 16 ounces.
Why?
As a health measure.
Okay.
Because apparently people can't just buy a refill or get a free refill, depending on your post. It's an
object. Or buy four of them?
Yes, it's an object lesson in, I don't know what you would call it.
You know, I hate to be contrarian.
Yeah,
but there may be a point to what he's trying to do, because what he's trying to do is fight a trend that has really taken over the United States.
Large portion sizes, but no, I'm not.
Yeah, portion sizes are getting larger and larger.
But that's,
you know, a soda used to be 8 ounces. Now, then it turned to 12, and now 16, and then 16, and now when you go to McDonald's, a medium is what? 24 ounces?
I don't know. I don't go to McDonald's.
Oh.
But no, I understand your point. The reason I'm disagreeing with you on it is that what will be the net effect? I understand what they would like to do. The net effect will be, despite the fact that businesses are against this, that they'll start marking up the prices on a 16-ounce soda. So all effectively this will do is drive up prices.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. I would say that the effect would be to kind of draw a line in the sand saying, you know what, this is a standard serving size. Deal with it. If you want two servings, that's fine. Get yourself two servings, but be cognizant of the fact that you're getting two servings.
Again, is this my turn to be skeptical? I'm not saying that that isn't the goal. I'm saying that the net effect will be that businesses, despite the fact that they are suing over it, will use it as an excuse to raise individual prices. The price of a 16-ounce will go up.
You know what?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you've realized this or not, but the price of a 16-ounce drink is going to go up anyway.
That's inflation.
And I think, as a business, they will take any possible excuse to raise the price. I mean, that's kind of what businesses do, right?
I'm not disagreeing with you on that point. I'm just saying that it will not have the effect that the government is hoping it will.
I think it would have the effect. Now, granted, I'm not arguing that it would also might have a secondary effect of raising the price of a soda. But is it really a bad thing if soda is more expensive than water? Because right now it's the other way around. Water is more expensive than soda, right?
Well, actually, I'd like to point out that the actual cost to most businesses of soda is actually negligible. It's cents. There's an incredible markup on a cup of soda. Even if you factor in maintenance of the machinery, supplies of CO2, syrup supplies, there's an incredible markup on it. So essentially, they're marking up an already marked up item.
You know, I don't know how many years ago, it was a few years ago, there was a study done regarding the cost of supplies, you know, what it costs to make a soda at McDonald's.
Okay.
Do you know what the most expensive part was?
The cup?
The ice.
Oh, I guessed wrong. Okay.
The water and the electricity for making the ice and maintaining the ice frozen was the most expensive part of a Coke.
I just think about when I read that book about the history of the deli. Do you know what the two most marked up items on which the bulk of profit is made at a traditional deli?
Mayonnaise and mustard?
No, soup and french fries.
Okay, yeah, things that aren't their specialty?
No, the margin on the meat is actually very low because the cost of meat keeps going up.
Mm.
So the soup actually has a much higher markup. I found
that. Sure, I'll buy that. Yep.
So let's move along. Google Now is apparently ready for the World Cup. Are you ready for the World Cup, Jerry?
God, no.
Who are you rooting for?
I would like to see Spain win or the U.S., of course.
Well, on
Thursday, I don't think the U.S. really has a chance.
Well, on Thursday, we have the Brazil versus Croatia match. Then on Friday, we have Mexico versus Cameroon, Spain versus the Netherlands. That's at about 3 p.m. on Friday. And then, and I'm getting this all from Google, Chile versus Australia. That'll be at 6 p.m. on Friday. Then on Saturday, let's see, we get Colombia versus Greece, England versus Italy, Cote d'Ivoire versus Japan, Uruguay versus Costa Rica.
Yeah, we get it. There's a lot of games.
Well, I was trying to see how we have to wait till Monday, June 16th, the U.S. shows up versus their first rival.
Ghana. Yep. Which they may win, and it may be the only game they win.
I'll take your word for it.
The United States is in a really rough group.
That doesn't surprise me.
It's all random-ish.
Well, we'll see what happens. Either way, the only thing that annoys me is that everything explodes with World Cup news.
Did you know that the World Cup, the U.S. World Cup team played here in Jacksonville against Nigeria Saturday?
No, I did not.
Yes, I did.
Did you go and watch?
I did not. My daughter had her dance recital at the exact same time, so I could.
Would you have gone and watched?
Oh, my God, yes. Right. Yes. Me, my wife, my daughter, my dog, my my two new birds.
I don't know. Yeah, I was down, as you recall, I was down in Florida last week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got to watch some soccer as well. I watched 5 different soccer games in the span of 10 minutes.
You just watched the highlights or what?
No, my grandfather is an aggressive channel surfer. He kept switching back between multiple soccer games. I wasn't sure who was playing whom. But it looked very, you know, there was a lot of action going on. Good to know. Anyway, moving along. Google has begun distributing the latest proprietary binaries for Nexus devices as previews, which will stay in sync with the AOSP master branch. Isn't that good news, Jerry?
I'm not sure. I mean, it sounds good.
Okay, there are certain proprietary bits of Nexus hardware. So that would be things like the certain hardware drivers that for various licensing reasons cannot be open source. So the thing is that they've decided that since the AOSP is moving along, that what they will do is if they have proprietary binaries, they'll be issuing any updates to those binaries as previews, so they'll stay in sync with what they're working on in the master branch, so people can continue to compile their own code. So basically what they're saying is they're going to make sure the latest version of the drivers that they're working with will be distributed as previews so that the public can work with them.
Okay, cool, I guess.
Well, again, it doesn't really affect anybody who isn't developing ROMs, but it's nice.
Sure.
So here's a question for you, Jerry. Is Google Now killing third-party Android apps?
Could be. They're trying to put so much into Google Now that, you know, yeah, could be. You know what would be cool?
Yes.
If there was an API for Google Now.
I think there
should
be.
So if you could have an app that could create cards.
Well, the problem with that is clutter.
I can it would see be what, advertisements?
Well, no. What I'm saying is I could see why Google wants to very gently bring things in, but you think that they could have approved partners. The same way that technically there is no right API access to Google Plus, but there are a few people who have it. So yep. why can't they say, because it's Google Now and you're linking into a program that we're displaying, if you want to be able to send a card in, we have to approve your card. So we have to whitelist you. Admittedly, it's not the best solution, but I could. It's better than them saying, oh, we're going to do everything, and one day you're going to come around and we'll have replaced your app with a card, so you're going to uninstall it. Which still might happen, but who knows. So what about other core apps? Do you think that Google apps are killing third-party apps of equivalent functionality? I just thought that was an interesting question.
Hmm.
So would you say that, when was the last time you used the stock email app on your phone, as opposed to the Gmail app?
20 minutes ago.
What do you use it for?
Work email. Oh. It's a exchange. It's an exchange email, so I have to.
You can use something like Touchdown, I suppose.
Who?
Touchdown. Or
But Touchdown's so expensive. Aren't they like $95?
No. Touchdown, I think, is like, it's expensive for an app. I think it's like $20. Yep. And what's that other one? Enhanced email?
Something. Anyway, so yeah, it could be.
No, I just find it interesting that, you know, a lot of the time I had third-party apps, and as the Google apps developed, I did remove some of them, not all of them.
It's the Walmart model.
Oh, I've been traumatized. Do you remember I told you about that car accident where somebody backed into my car?
Mm-hmm.
While I was not going to Walmart, that was in a parking lot in front of Walmart. I was on the other way to the other side of the parking lot. I have not been to that Walmart since. Not that I go to Walmart that often, but that's where I buy my underwear.
So easily traumatized.
Well, I can go and buy it somewhere else. I just think that parking lot is a death trap, and I don't want to risk my car. It cost $855 to repair it last time. Fortunately, the insurance finally paid for it, but that's a whole other conversation.
Okay.
Moving along, Google added a permissions link in the web store, and it changed the way that permissions are displayed in the Play Store app. Have you noticed this, Jerry?
I have. I like it.
So why do you like it?
Because it's clearer about what the permissions are. It's not just the name of them. It's kind of like
looking at it right now.
That's what I was saying.
I like it.
I like it.
That's usually your line, but I like it too.
And I said my line.
Yeah, I said your line too.
It's a good line.
I didn't say it with the enthusiasm you usually say it with. You know, you usually say, I like it.
I like it a lot.
I have to learn to do my best Jerry imitation.
Why? Why must you learn to make fun of me?
No, I have to be prepared in case you're not around. Remember, well, you remember that the last time that you weren't around, I had to talk to myself. So if I
can did not.
Yes. If I can do a good Jerry imitation, then if you happen to not be able to show up for the show, I can just play your part.
So what are you saying? You're trying to find a way to replace me with, like, not even another person, just, like, a nobody? You? You're trying to replace me with yourself? That's what you're saying?
I don't know. I keep telling my coworkers I'm trying to replace them with a robot.
One of my favorite t-shirts is basically says something to the effect of, be quiet or I will replace you with a very small shell script.
Does that work?
Nobody talks in my office.
But you work alone.
Exactly. Of course, that may also be why.
Why? Because you replace them all with a shell script?
No, because I work alone. There are no other peoples in my office. And you know what? That's just the way I like it.
Well, not everybody in my office is physically present. Some of them are remote people. But I'm still trying to replace them with robots. It'll happen one of these days.
Yes, it will.
Anyway, moving along, there was a Flickr update.
Flickr's still alive?
Yeah, there was big news this week that Flickr is removing its login with Google and login with Facebook icon, so you'll only be able to log in with Flickr. Apparently, OpenID is dead.
No, it can't be. That's what I used to log on to Stack Overflow. It's not allowed to be dead yet.
Well, okay, dying. People don't want, despite the fact that the whole goal was to only have one login and have multiple authentication providers, it appears that the authentication providers don't want to support other companies because that would be acknowledging said other companies exist.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a solution.
Well, it's not that. It's every company wants as much information as possible. And if you log in with another company's credentials, then you are denying that company some of your information.
Well, you could try my solution. IndieAuth.
Go Gonna need more than that.
I put a link in the chat.
You did?
IndieAuth.com. IndieAuth is a way to use your domain name to sign into websites. It works by linking your website to one or more authentication providers, such as Twitter or Google, then entering your domain names in the login form on websites that support IndieAuth. Assuming you could find a website that supports IndieAuth.
Hmm.
So basically the idea is that you have two factors. One is your site, and your site identifies a authentication provider that it trusts. So if you can successfully log into that authentication provider, you can thus identify yourself as per your website to get into whatever it is you're trying to get into.
Sounds kind of shady if you ask me.
Well, it's similar to OpenID. The idea is that your website is what it's actually using to store things. It's just using a secondary service. So the secondary service could continue to change.
And for the people that don't even have websites?
Why don't you have a website?
I'm not talking about me.
No, I'm saying that's my response to somebody who doesn't have a website. Why are you putting all of your online life in the hands of other organizations that don't care about you? If you have your own website, you care about yourself, hopefully. I told you I joined a movement. I feel very strongly about this.
Yeah, but the majority of people don't use the internet to create. It's not a creation medium. The internet is a consumption medium for the majority of people.
Okay. So
and kind of by necessity.
So let's go with that argument. Let's talk about, let's use somebody who is fairly active. Let's talk about Patrick Archibald. You know him, right?
Yeah.
So yesterday, Pat shared, on Google Plus, somebody in one person hit by another person in the Canadian Grand Prix, and somebody wrecking in the Canadian Grand Prix. That was yesterday. Then on June 6th.
So you're talking about him as a content creator.
Yes, he is.
Okay, he's not the type of person I'm talking about for this. Okay. He is the oddball. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, Pat's a nice guy. Spiffy dresser, treats his dog, his cat's nice. But he's not the majority of people on the internet. And if you're a, I don't know, Hulu, these people are just not your audience.
But I feel very strongly that people should be working on creating content rather than giving content to other people who will use it for whatever means they want.
But what if they're not creating any content? What if they're just surfing the internet? Just cruising around Reddit, enjoying the funny cats.
That's their choice. Well, how many people are out there posting pictures of, let's say, their cat? Why are they posting those pictures on?
I'm not talking about the people posting the pictures. I'm talking about the people looking at the pictures.
I'm talking about the people posting the pictures.
Well, then maybe that's why we're in disagreement.
Okay.
We're talking about two separate things.
Yes, but is a content creator somebody who's creating a lot of content or somebody who's creating a small amount of content? Is there a quantity?
I think the answer is there in your question. A content creator is one who creates content.
Is there a minimum bar of content to be created before you consider a creator?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
So. Zero. Zero is kind of the threshold.
So if you've ever posted anything on the internet, you are a creator. Okay. So that's a low bar for everybody having a website, isn't it?
I don't consider myself a creator.
You don't or you do?
I do not.
Okay. Well, if you're ever interested, I could declare you my apprentice. I don't know what somebody who apprentices to somebody else in that particular nomenclature means, but I'm sure at some point I could figure it out and maybe there could be some advantage to it.
Okay.
Anyway, moving along. VLC desktop and Android versions are going to get Chromecast support. So everybody's jumping on the Dial bandwagon.
Now, is this Chromecast receiving or Chromecast transmitting?
This is, as far as I understand, this is transmitting. So you'd be able to play something and then switch it over to be played on the screen.
Interesting.
Would you want to receive?
Sure, maybe I'm on my computer and I want to send something to my screen. I could pull up VLC and bam.
But what about the other way around?
Well, there you go.
How about we talk about Netflix? They've added PostPlay to their Android app.
Saw that.
So now, as soon as you finish watching something on Netflix, you'll get something else.
Yep.
And when you finish that, you'll get something else.
Yep.
And eventually...
It's actually really well done.
No, it is. I'm just saying eventually you'll fall asleep.
They skip, some shows have a kind of a summary of what happened on the last show.
Previously on Android Buffet.
Yeah. If you're watching back-to-back episodes, they skip that. Kind of cool.
Okay. Quick Pick Beta is now available. So the developer has released a beta version, and they're introducing 500px and Picasa support, and people have been clamoring for Dropbox support.
Oh, of course they have.
Well, it's a major photo storage option. Why wouldn't they clamor?
Hence, of course they are.
Oh, I thought you were saying that in a sarcastic manner.
I was.
And then what was your objection to me questioning your sarcasm?
I don't know.
Okay. PowerDirector's video editing software is now available on Android for 7-inch tablets or larger Android devices.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. There is, of course, a paid version. You can do upgrading. But if you want to edit video on your tablet, you may now do so with PowerDirector. Two apps have actually enabled the OK Google Hotword. That would be Action Launcher. It's beta. Has enabled it, and Nova Launcher now supports OK Google as Hotword. So I decided that I would reinstall Nova Launcher and test it. So let's see what happens. This is Nova Launcher. OK Google. Well, that worked. Well, I'm waiting for when I can swipe to it'll do the Google Experience thing where I can swipe into the Google Now card. It doesn't support that yet. I feel like
asking. I just like how you were surprised.
That I worked. Was. I was surprised. I'm a good actor. OK Google. How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? It doesn't know. Oh, well.
Does anybody?
Well, there's always this one. Okay, Google. Make me a sandwich.
Poof, you're a sandwich.
That worked.
That's so awesome.
And the last Google Hangouts update apparently changed the behavior. It no longer opens Google+. It opens a contact card in the Google Contacts app.
So what does that mean?
So previously, when you clicked on somebody's profile image in Hangouts, it would open up their Google Plus profile in the Google Plus app. Now it opens up their contact in your contact list using the Contacts app. So the same way if you were in the Contacts app where it would open up that thing where it shows all the little icons, it's doing that instead. So the question that you have to ask is, does this mean that Google Plus is being de-emphasized? Where last year there was this big push to make everything Google Plus. Is Google finally realizing that everything should be Google, and Google Plus is just part of that, instead of trying to force everybody to be in Google Plus?
Well, one can help. Is this part of the 4.3?
No, this is part of the latest Hangouts update, which included a fix for the battery drain and a few other things.
Okay. I'm hoping 4.4.3 fixes my battery drain. It's been really bad.
How bad has it been?
I'm only getting like 9 hours.
I don't remember, you know, because I was out last Sunday touring the beautiful city of Miami, which I think I mentioned. And that was the first time in a while that I'd done, you know, a full day without being plugged in at least one time.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of interesting things that happened that day in terms of me monitoring my battery life.
As in, your phone was not idle the whole time. It was actually being used.
Well, I did, in this particular case, I was not using it for taking pictures. So I deliberately brought along something else. So I was only using it as a phone during that period. And I had a separate camera.
Just a second.
Yeah. I wonder where Jerry is. I'll just entertain you.
My wife came in and I didn't need to talk to her for a second.
Okay.
So I muted myself.
I was going to play the kazoo while I was waiting.
Okay.
So you just saved the audience from an encore. Say hi for me.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay.
My wife repaired one of my electronics devices that I had been unable to repair.
How did she repair it?
She pressed some buttons in a magic way.
Oh, she has magic hands?
Oh, yeah.
Of an electronic nature.
Sure, we'll go with that, too.
Okay.
Anyway.
I did a battery test when I was in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
So I went on this tour of Miami, and I invited my family along, so my mother was there. My mother had my old Verizon Galaxy S3 that I gave her after I switched to the Nexus 5. and she was taking pictures continuously and had to swap batteries.
Yeah.
I was using the Nexus 5. I was not taking pictures, but I was using the phone during periodic stops, and I was taking pictures using a conventional phone powered by a separate battery.
Huh?
I had a point and shoot.
Oh, okay.
So there was no battery effect.
Well, you just made that sound complicated.
There was no battery drain. I was not using my phone as a camera. I had a camera that I was using as a camera.
Oh, okay.
So left pocket, phone, right pocket, camera.
It was certainly helps the battery life that way, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. So she had gone through two replacement batteries. I sold her the phone with all the replacement batteries she needed. And I still was on my initial charge. And let's see, when did I leave the house that morning? I would have left the house around 8 o'clock and probably didn't get back until, what, 6 or 7? And I think I had 20%. Not bad, I guess.
No, not at all.
I suppose if I'd done a few things, you know, turned off Bluetooth and a few other things, turned off Wi-Fi, I probably could have added to it a bit. But I've been enjoying the Wi-Fi hopping.
Wi-Fi hopping. Have you subscribed to some service?
No, that's where I go around looking for Wi-Fi networks so I don't have to pay Ting.
Ah.
It's actually a fun challenge. So tomorrow is actually the end of my month with Ting. So do you remember when we used to compare our data usage?
Yes.
Okay, well, according to this, right now, for the month of, you know, let's say May 10th to June 9th, I used 450 megabytes.
It's under settings, and
at least that's what Ting says. Now, according to the phone itself, let's see what the phone actually says I used. 443. Not too much of a variant.
Wow.
123 megabytes of that was my RSS feed reader. I'd tell him to try to cut down the data usage on that thing, but he made fun of me the last time I talked to him. 93 megabytes Chrome, 34 megabytes Link Bubble, which was what I was using for quick pop-ups of web links. 4.78 email. Not too bad as things go.
Well, for me, from May 16th to June 16th, I have used about 1 gig.
What have you been doing?
Apparently, it's all Dogcatcher and Spotify.
Why can't you just set Dogcatcher to download at home?
Because I don't care. And because sometimes I'll be out and about and finish a podcast and want the next one, and it's not there, so I'll download it.
Okay. I will accept your premise.
Holy cow, my wife. Wow. Rock on, wife.
I think that should be our episode title. I'm putting it in now. Rock on, wife. But on that note, it's actually 11:05, so we probably should wrap this podcast up.
All right.
Okay, let's go through some housekeeping here. If you're interested, the Southeast Linux Fest, which is the only time Jerry and I have actually been in the same place, is going on later this month, and Murph, who's in our chat room, wants to know if anybody's coming. That will be June 20th to 22nd at the Sheraton Charlotte Airport. So they're no longer having it at that junky renovated hotel downtown. And if you're interested, you can go to southeastlinuxfest.org. The final schedule was released a few days ago. And let's see what kind of interesting things are going on there. Let's see. There's an Oracle room, a Linode room, a Red Hat room, and an OpenNet Citrix room. So the Oracle room has Puppet training. So we have Puppet training, we have MySQL, we have insane NoSQL speeds with MariaDB and Handler Socket. MariaDB, your MySQL alternative, a Puppy Linux deconstructed. Ooh, self-centered security. So there's a whole room on security. They have historical perspectives, security features of the Zen Project Hypervisor, avoiding the stupid when deploying two-factor authentication. That sounds interesting. An analysis of Heartbleed. We have Raspberry Pi hacks. What communities can learn from Buffy the Vampire Slayer? I wonder what communities can learn from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Murph will have to tell me.
There are a lot of good, solid lessons in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what will happen. Here we are. Deb Nicholson, who I think I met several times, the one who was doing Media Goblin. Trolls aren't the only threat under the bridge. I wonder what that's about. Demystifying SSL. Maybe they can explain that thing we couldn't explain a few weeks ago. Putting the S in HTTPS, from zero to certificate authority, the tiny dirty window we see you through. Oh, here's one, providing Wi-Fi for self. Sounds very interesting. But if you're interested in that, check out the website if you're in the Charlotte area. Or if you're not in the Charlotte area, drive to Charlotte. Well, that works. I'm not requiring that you go to Charlotte, but if you're interested. Other than that, we, of course, remain a member of the Tech Podcast Network. They're over there somewhere, and they have some tech. Check them out. Let's see. What else are we doing? Oh, yes. Some social media stuff. If you are a content consumer, you are welcome to consume our content on Facebook, Google+, Twitter, or wherever you hang your social network. If we are not on your appropriate social network, you're welcome to ask us to be on it. We want to be where you are. And then we will.
And by be where you are, what we really mean is we're going to be where we are, but we will try and distribute our stuff to wherever you are.
Well, you know, that is the philosophy that I go by. It's post on AndroidBuffet.com and syndicate wherever other people are. So this show is syndicated. Anywhere I can get it syndicated. You know we're on Stitcher? I don't think we mentioned Stitcher in a while. We're on Stitcher.
I knew we're on Stitcher, but we haven't mentioned it in a while.
Okay, we're on Stitcher. Go check out Stitcher if you like that sort of thing. I'm not dissing Stitcher. I just don't use it. I'm not the use case, I guess. Anyway, that brings us to the end of our program for this week. We'll be back in exactly... Wait 1 second. I have it here. Remember, we have a countdown on the website that resets itself. 6 days, 22 hours, 50 minutes, and 3 seconds. If you are listening to this recording, please check your local timekeeping device.
And bear in mind that the previous time until the next show was previously recorded.
Yes.
It may not match the actual time that you're listening.
And before we sign off, what I'm going to do is wish you a happy Monday, and may your pockets be filled with Hryvnia.
With who?
Hryvnia.
Yeah.
You don't think your pockets should be filled with Hryvnia?
I would prefer to fill them with Bitcoin.
How do you fill a pocket with Bitcoin?
USB stick.
How about you can fill your dollar your pockets with Hungarian forints?
I still prefer Bitcoin.
Polish zloty?
You know, interestingly, I still prefer Bitcoin.
Okay. You're anti-zloty. I understand. Anyway, as I said, that brings us to the end of the program. We'll be back next week, unless something catastrophic happens between now and then. In the event that the zombie apocalypse or some form of EMD explodes over the United States, thus preventing us from recording this program, you'll have to do without us. But assuming no major catastrophe prevents us from being here, we'll be here next week, right?
Yes, we will.
I want to cover things in the event of some form of natural or unnatural or paranormal disaster, we may not be here. Let's hope that doesn't happen.
Maybe not.
Why, are you hoping for a zombie apocalypse?
Not today.
Okay, maybe tomorrow?
Could be.
Okay, as long as you're prepared.
No, I'm not prepared for a zombie apocalypse, are you?
No, I figure I'll just die. Actually, that might not be a good idea, then I'd be a zombie. That's an interesting question. If you have decided that in the event of a zombie apocalypse, you are not likely to survive outrunning zombies, and you don't want to become a zombie, what do you do?
Kill yourself?
I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. I'm afraid of guns. And I don't actually have any. And I don't have any poison on hand, I suppose. I'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming I have the luxury to do so before I'm attacked by zombies.
I bet you will.
I'm counting on it, actually. I'm not really expecting a zombie apocalypse to show up tomorrow. I don't know what that was, but I can't think of a better way to end the show. Good night.
Good night.